What you heard right there was the power of audio.
And audio is what we do at Odyssey. That true crime podcast you spent hours listening to,
we produce that.
That radio station where you discovered your favorite artists,
that's our station.
That weird playlist of bongo music,
we ain't judging. One of our curators made that.
Advertise with Odyssey. We can get your message in front of a broad or targeted audience. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Kenny. Incredible crew, and whoever the hell you are. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up 20 minutes from now, ESPN sports betting analyst, my buddy, Joe Fortenbaugh, will join the show. We'll talk Wild Card Weekend, get Joe's bets for tonight with the Steelers and the Texans, and an early betting preview of divisional weekends in the NFL with yours truly, Nick Kostos, and Joe Fortenbaugh coming up 20 minutes from now. And at the end of the show, all my bets for tonight in the world of sports. We got some breaking news in college football that we'll get to in a moment, but just to recap some of the stories that we've touched on today on the Monday edition of You Better You Bet, following an epic wild card weekend in the NFL. Started the show talking about the Adam Schefter tweet that the Green Bay Packers are trying to work out a contract extension with head coach Matt LaFleur. This coming off LaFleur coaching one of the worst second halves in the history of the NFL playoffs on Saturday night as the Packers yacked away the wild card game at Soldier Field against their hated rival, the Chicago Bears. And I think this is a good move for the Packers to try and keep Matt LaFleur, even while acknowledging LaFleur did a brutal job on Saturday night. I never felt like the Packers were a Super Bowl contender this year until they traded for Micah Parsons. And then once Parsons got hurt in Denver not too long ago, I crossed the Packers off the list. Like, that's it for Green Bay. LaFleur is a young offensive mind, a really good offensive play caller. He's not perfect. I don't think he's at like the McVay or Shanahan level, but he's really good. And that's what every team wants, a young offensive mind that can work with a young quarterback. And if LaFleur hit the market, he would get another job. Maybe he'd be with Miami with his old vice president of player personnel in Green Bay, John Eric Sullivan. Maybe it would be in Tennessee, where he used to be the offensive coordinator prior to becoming the head coach of the Packers to work with Cam Ward. Or maybe he'd go to Atlanta to work with his old quarterback, Matt Ryan, now the president of football operations for the Falcons. So I like this for Green Bay, trying to keep Matt LaFleur under contract. There is some scuttlebutt right now. There is some smoke out there on social media and otherwise that the Packers might be trying to trade Matt LaFleur to another NFL team. I don't know if that's going to happen. Although I will acknowledge, and I said this to start the show, I don't think it's a lock that LaFleur is coming back to Green Bay. So this is very much a more shall be revealed. We'll see what happens. If I were the Green Bay Packers, I would be trying to keep Matt LaFleur as the head coach in Green Bay. We talked about the Philadelphia Eagles and their pathetic, embarrassing season-ending loss yesterday as a big favorite to the San Francisco 49ers. And yes, it's obvious that the Eagles need to fire overmatched offensive coordinator Devin Petullo. I kind of think Petullo needs to serve some jail time for how poorly this went. Just a miserable, miserable season for Petullo. A miserable, miserable season for the Eagles' offense. And now, you have to trade A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown is one of the best receivers in football. But A.J. Brown, and any player really, You can be dramatic and you can cause issues on and off the field. I bring up sometimes the quote from former Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim, who's joking about how the NFL will overlook, you know, red flags with a player's personality or off-field stuff, saying that if Hannibal Lecter ran a 4.3, the NFL would diagnose him with an eating disorder. Now, A.J. Brown's not involved in anything off the field. Like, I'm not trying to equate A.J. Brown with someone who's, like, engaged in criminal activity. That's not what I'm saying at all. And he is one of the best receivers in football. And if the Eagles do trade him, there will be no shortage of suitors for A.J. Brown, nor should there be. And I'm not even saying A.J. Brown shouldn't be annoyed with how things have gone in Philadelphia, how it went this season with the Philadelphia Eagles offense. But if you're going to be as dramatic as he's been, and as passive-aggressive as he's been, and as immature as he's been with the cryptic social media posts and the passive-aggressive nature of his dealings with the media, enjoying with the quarterback, enjoying with the head coach, you better make the plays in the big spots when the ball comes your way. And he didn't yesterday in the Eagles' loss to the 49ers. Two huge opportunities for A.J. Brown, and blew both of them. Dropped both of them. You can do that sort of thing when the team wins and you perform. But when you don't perform and the team loses, something's got to give. You're not going to fire the quarterback who won Super Bowl MVP less than a calendar year ago. You can't fire the head coach. I guess you could. I don't think they will. Who just won a Super Bowl less than 365 days ago. So how do you fix things? You fire the offensive coordinator, and you trade the locker room problem. And A.J. Brown can go somewhere else and be a stud. I'm not saying that can't or won't happen. But come on. A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely headed towards a divorce, and they should be. Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, I overlooked them heading into this game, and I regret that. That's a bad job by me. You know, we make excuses all the time for NFL teams, and we'll talk about Justin Herbert coming up in a few moments. We always want to make excuses for players and coaches. San Francisco 49ers don't need your excuses. George Kittle tears his Achilles during the game. Fred Warner's already out. Nick Bosa's already out. No healthy linebackers. Didn't have, you know, a lot of their receivers for a lot of the season. Brandon Ayuk hasn't played. Purdy's missed time. Here are the Niners in the divisional round. He won't win Coach of the Year. Kyle Shanahan won't win. I think Mike Vrabel will win. Kyle Shanahan is the Coach of the Year in the NFL, and I won't overlook the Niners again. Kind of like them +7 this weekend on the road in Seattle. And I told you why the Buffalo Bills should be. They're not. But they should be the favorites to win the AFC. The Patriots are a small favorite over Buffalo at BetMGM. The Bills have the great equalizer. Number 17, Josh Allen. The best quarterback standing. No Mahomes, no Lamar, no Burrow. Now it's Josh Allen. And y'all pay homage to the man. Woo! We do have some breaking news to get to now in the world of sports. We'll talk Chargers-Patriots, and we will get to Rams-Panthers in a few moments. We have this piece of news from Rams head coach Sean McVay, and we watch the game, and I'll do Rams-Panthers here for a few minutes. So the Rams come from behind fashion, beat the Panthers, right? And that would have been like Bears-Packers on Saturday night. Like, great game, could have a consequence of maybe Matt LaFleur loses his job. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case, but we'll see. I don't think the Bears or the Packers could win the Super Bowl. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the Bears will win it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that result will have an impact on who wins the Super Bowl. If the Rams had lost on Saturday afternoon in Carolina, that is a game that could have had an impact on who wins the Super Bowl. Because the Rams, in my estimation at least, are one of the only teams that cannot get there, but actually raise the Lombardi Trophy. And they almost yacked it away. The special teams almost failed them again. And Sean McVay, some of his ridiculous decision-making, while I acknowledge that he is one of the two or three best coaches in the NFL, he will make some decisions sometimes that leave you scratching your head. like going forward on fourth and three, up 17-7 at the end of the first half, getting the ball to start the second half, and the Panthers go and score a touchdown to make it 17-14. Now, if Matthew Stafford doesn't hurt his hands at the end of the first half, maybe the game isn't as close as it was. Maybe Stafford doesn't need the heroics at the end. Seven plays, 71 yards. Go-ahead touchdown to Colby Parkinson. Maybe the Rams just cruise to victory. But Stafford obviously was hurt during this game. And I know that because he went from looking like the MVP in the first half to Nathan Peterman in the second half. The official diagnosis for Matthew Stafford per Rams head coach Sean McVay, sprained right finger. Sean McVay just saying that to the news media in Los Angeles. But McVay adds that Stafford will play against the Bears. Duh. The Rams are, you think the Rams would be favored in the game if Jimmy Garoppolo were playing? I have the BetMGM market up right now. Nothing has happened. We are still Rams 3.5. The total has ticked down a half a point from 51.5 to 51. We'll keep you updated during the week and over the course of the show today if anything happens in the betting market. Sprain right finger for Matthew Stafford, but he will play coming up on Sunday against the Chicago Bears per head coach Sean McVay. We do Patriots Chargers now for a few minutes as well. And I actually think that you can say the same thing about the Rams as you could about the Patriots. The Rams did not play a clean game. I don't think the Rams were particularly good in the game in the same way. And I don't think the Patriots played a clean game. I don't think the Patriots were particularly good last night, at least on offense. Defense was another story for New England. So if you're a Rams fan or a Rams better, or a Patriots fan and a Patriots better, probably feel like you dodged a bullet. My expectation would be that both of those teams, with the MVP candidate quarterbacks, and Stafford was named first-team All-Pro on Saturday, which doesn't mean he'll win MVP. Lamar was first-team All-Pro last year, and Josh Allen famously won MVP. But we think Stafford's probably going to win. Stafford didn't play his best. The Rams didn't play their best. Drake May didn't play his best last night, and the Patriots didn't play their best. And you probably feel like you'll get a better effort from both teams and both quarterbacks in next week's games. And we don't know who the Patriots are going to play yet. The winner of tonight with the Steelers and the Texans. Patriots only scored 16 points. Didn't need to score more than three, as it turned, or more than six, as it turned out, when they were up 6-3 in the second half of this game. Because Justin Herbert, and I talked about this last hour with Dave Damashek from Football America. Like, Damashek started doing like the whole woe is me thing with Justin Herbert, and like, I'm not interested in it at all. Justin Herbert, like, both things can be true. Herbert's a really good quarterback that the vast majority of teams in the NFL would love to have. That's true. It's also true that he has been a total dud in the postseason after the first half of the first game that he played in, when they were up 27-0 against the Jaguars and lost that game to Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Herbert was miserable last year in the wild card round against the Houston Texans, throwing a billion interceptions in that game, and he was terrible last night against New England.
Hey, this is John Rothstein, the host of Inside College Basketball Now, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, reminding you that our show is going to ramp up over the next 2 months. That's because we're counting down to Selection Sunday and March Madness. We will be coming to you each and every week with multiple episodes featuring exclusive interviews with the biggest and best names in the sport. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet for college basketball junkies everywhere. Follow and listen to Inside College Basketball Now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't have to make excuses. We don't have to. We don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be, he didn't have his offensive tackles, he didn't have Alton, he didn't have Slater. We don't have to say that. It doesn't have to be that we blame Greg Roman, who I actually think Jim Harbaugh is going to fire. Harbaugh said after the game, he's not sure if Roman's the right guy moving forward. Translation, Harbaugh will fire Greg Roman, and there will be a new offensive coordinator next year for the Chargers. You can bet your bottom dollar on that one. That's going to happen. They will fire Greg Roman. I basically guarantee it. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. It's not like Herbert Like, this wasn't like he threw for 350 yards and three touchdowns and they lost a nail biter. Like, when the Bills lost to the Chiefs in the 13 seconds game, no one after the game was like, it's Josh Allen's fault they lost. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, Sean McDermott blew the end of the game and Patrick Mahomes was great. And Allen was great in that game. Last night, Justin Herbert was bad and did nothing to help the Chargers win the game. And maybe this is going to be what it is for Justin Herbert. Maybe he's just going to be a bad playoff performer, and he's really good from September to December, and when the calendar flips to January, he turns into a pumpkin and he stinks. And maybe it's not fair to say that. Maybe he'll turn it around. But the facts are the facts. You don't have to let feelings get in the way. You don't have to make excuses for him. You can tell the truth. He's a really good regular season quarterback, and then he gets into the playoffs, and he stinks. End of story. What's the argument to the contrary? I'd love to know what it is. Joe Fortenbaugh will join us next segment, but the piece of breaking news that I've been alluding to emanates from the world of college football, where former Nebraska quarterback and Patrick Mahomes lookalike, Dylan Raiola, is transferring to Oregon. So Dylan Raiola is going to be the quarterback of the Oregon Ducks coming up next season for Dan Lanning and company, who got embarrassed on Friday night in the Peach Bowl by Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, who are a 7.5-point favorite next week in the national championship game against the Miami Hurricanes at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. So Dylan Raiola will be the next Oregon quarterback, which means Dante Moore is declaring for the NFL draft, which means the Jets at 2, the Cardinals at 3, their antenna goes up a little bit, the ears perk up a little bit. We think Fernando Mendoza is going 1 to the Las Vegas Raiders. Now we know there will be a number 2 quarterback in the NFL draft, because Dylan Raiola ain't going to Oregon if he's sitting behind Dante Moore. Raiola will be the next Oregon quarterback, which means Dante Moore will be playing on Sundays next year in the National Football League. We'll take a quick break. And on the other side, one of my absolute favorites, one of the most talented guys in the business, sports betting or otherwise, and also one of the best dressed, the great Joe Fortenbaugh will join us coming up here on Westwood One Sports. Bets for tonight with the Steelers and Texans, and an early look at the divisional round as well. Joe Fortenbaugh joins Nick Costos next on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.